Uber recently conducted its largest ever survey of drivers and delivery people across Australia to get their views on what they think is working and what's not in the gig economy. So that's employment on short-term contracts or freelance work as opposed to permanent jobs. To talk about this and more, Amanda Gilmore, head of driver for Uber Australia and New Zealand, joins us now.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Amanda, as I mentioned, you're the head of driver at Uber across our region. You're in charge of making sure that Uber driver partners, so basically anyone that earns money via Uber, are best supported. Before we get to the findings, can you set the scene for us a little bit and tell us about how, because of the rise of the gig economy, work is changing?
Yeah, I mean, work has changed so much really since platforms like Uber came onto the scene. And without a doubt, I think people are looking for more flexibility in the way that they work. There was a survey that was done, a study that was done in 2019 by the firm Alpha Beta, which looked at workers across Australia and found that 5.5 million Australian workers are in low or neutral flexibility jobs, but 1.2 million of those people said that they want more flexibility. So there's definitely a demand for it. And I think platforms like Uber are really different in the way that they do offer that flexibility. You can literally go online whenever you want, wherever you want. You don't need to tell anyone that, you know, you want to take a holiday. You can just do that all on your own and it's completely within your control. And I think that that's the piece that people love about platforms like Uber and the gig economy. And it's really revolutionized the way that people can think about, you know, fitting work and life together.
So this survey you've conducted, Amanda, and it's a big one, 20,000 respondents across the region, really found that that flexibility is the thing people like most about driving with Uber. But Amanda, you don't conduct surveys for just the good news. You also want to know how you can improve. What did you find the main challenges are?
Yeah, I mean, you're completely right, Kate. Like the more important thing of the survey was figuring out where we needed to improve. So one of the standout things that came through was that drivers really told us they wanted better access to customer support. So that's like, you know, if they have an issue on a trip, if someone leaves a bag in their car, then they want to be able to quickly get that issue resolved so that they can get back out on the road driving and delivering and earning, which completely makes sense. So that came through loud and clear as the top issue. And it's one that we really want to action quickly. So over the coming weeks, we're rolling out phone support for drivers. So they should be able to call a dedicated phone line and get their issue resolved quickly. And some of the other areas are going to take more time. And so one of the key pieces that drivers told us they want us to focus on is being more responsive to their feedback and closing the loop. So we're setting up some what we're calling advisory forums for drivers and delivery people across the country. And that's really going to be an ongoing mechanism for us to get in a room, hash out what the issues are with drivers and delivery people, and then build solutions together with them.
Yeah, being heard is a big thing for people, isn't it?
Exactly.
Amanda, when you look into the future, I know Uber's really big on looking as far ahead as possible. What does the future of the gig economy look like?
Yeah, I think because, you know, the gig economy is still relatively new, it's something that's on everyone's, like the top of everyone's mind is how do we usher in this new way of working and make sure that we preserve the great things about it, but we also provide, you know, support and protection for people who choose to work in the gig economy. So what I hope is that we can preserve that flexibility, but I think we then need to think about what are the right ways we can create a safety net for people in the gig economy and introduce support and protections that you might, you know, find in traditional employment. So an example of this is we have insurance that covers people for on-trip injuries or any sort of income loss that they might suffer because of an injury that happens while using one of the Uber platforms. And that's something that, you know, Uber has led the way on, I'd say, but we want to make sure that that's an industry-wide thing so that no matter what platform you're using, you can make sure that you're protected. And so those are the types of, you know, reforms that we want to see happen across the gig economy and across the sector so that no matter what platform you choose to use, you can make sure that you're safe, you're protected, you have the backup and benefits that you need.
For many of us, we sort of just think of Uber and we think, oh yeah, you click a button and an Uber driver arrives, or you order a meal and it rocks up at your door. You don't kind of think about how much goes into what's behind all of that. So those are some really interesting insights. Amanda, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for the time, Kate.
This interview is brought to you by our podcast partner, Uber.